Wall Street gets a blank check while Main Street picks up the tab. Politicians raise taxes while the private sector picks up the tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome to the only live and local show dedicated to the private sector and turning our economy around. This is Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101.
It's 7 minutes past the hour here on a Sunday afternoon, the first weekend in June. Hope you had a good weekend, and it is time to get down to business. The news is not good. In fact, it's downright ugly when you look at the May job numbers. We'll talk about that in just a minute. First, though, a preview of this hour of the show. We'll have Greg Bell, the author of Water the Bamboo, in studio for an interview that you will not want to miss. I first met Greg about 3 months ago in the Bing Lounge when he spoke to all of us at Alpha Broadcasting, a very inspiring message. And for those of you out there struggling with your business or your life, this is an hour of radio you won't want to miss. Greg Bell, our select executive, as he talks about his life-changing book. It's called Water the Bamboo. That's coming up in just about 10 minutes, so stay with us. We'll stay with Greg the rest of this hour, and then in our next hour, more on the job numbers. We'll talk to Mark Hanna from Directors Mortgage. Obviously, the bad economic news is very good news for mortgage interest rates. That 10-year Treasury continues to plummet, and although mortgage interest rates are not directly tied to the 10-year note, they do track along with it. Mortgage rates incredibly low right now. We'll talk about that with Mark Hanna from Directors Mortgage. And then in our next hour, John DaCosta from DaCosta Properties joins us. Going to mix it up a little bit this week. Instead of talking about the housing market and how to buy a home, John's going to tell us, for those of you out there with poor credit due to this awful economy, how to rent a home. And there are many rentals out there. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there right now who are finding that renting is much more appealing than owning a home, because if you need to move, well, guess what? You can. So we'll talk to John about that coming up at 5:35, and we'll wrap up with the coach, Mike Goss, the author of Breaking Through Walls. More inspiration for us here to keep you motivated in what is an ugly economy out there right now. Of course, you've seen the numbers by now, the May job numbers. Only 69,000 jobs added in the month of May. What's worse, the unemployment rate actually ticked up 0.1% to 8.2% now. What always gets me is the economists surveyed by at least CNN Money had expected to see an addition of about 150,000 jobs, and I just don't know where these economists come up with these numbers. It's like they're pulling something out of a hat. Because you and I both know, if you're a business owner right now, you are not hiring. Seeing what's happening in Europe right now, the fiscal cliff we're facing here in the United States is going to be a reality in about 6 months if something isn't done to fix it. And right now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I know you're not hiring. I don't know many people who are. And if they do, it's temporary. So where do they come up with these numbers? I don't know. Public sector shed 13,000 jobs. Private sector adds 82,000. So net gain of only 69,000 jobs in the month of May. And what's worse is they revised down the numbers from March and April as well. So almost 50,000 fewer jobs in March and April as well. So those numbers we saw last month, the month before, in March that were so good, well, guess what? As I told you here a couple weeks ago, we talked to Pat Stone as well. Those numbers largely were driven by the fact we had a very mild winter across much of the eastern seaboard, and I think a lot of those jobs that would have been added in April, May, and June were added in the winter months, January, February, and March. So not good news here. We see what's happening overseas in Europe right now. Spain now in big trouble. And the problem is, what's the answer? How do they fix this now that we're nearly 2.5, 3 years into this European debt crisis? Where is the money going to come from to bail out these banks? That's the big question. You see what happened last week when one of Spain's biggest banks gets a bailout and investors pretty much shrug their shoulders at it. They've got a major issue in Europe, and if you think for a second that what happens across the pond doesn't impact us here, better think again. It will have a huge impact. Of course, we see the stock market plummeting in the past month, and that's another topic that I want to touch on before we hit the break here, and I'll expand on this in our next hour. This is one of the biggest things that bothers me as a financial advisor is the fact that the federal government, Uncle Sam, wants to outlaw online gambling, and yet the same government allows Joe Sixpack to go online and play with his investments in what I would call the biggest casino on the face of the earth. That would be the stock market. How does that work? You've got average, everyday Americans who are losing their life savings and their 401ks and their IRAs in these mutual funds and fund of funds and fund of fund of funds, and yet it's going to be illegal, or it is illegal, to go online and gamble with your own money. That's what you're doing in the stock market. For those of you out there 60 years or older, get out now, tomorrow morning. Get out. I mean, if you haven't gotten out already, you're crazy. Get into something fixed, or at the very least, indexed to the market where you can't lose money. You can't lose your principal. Don't look at what you've already lost. Look at what you could lose. Not if, but when that stock market really takes a dive, and I think it's coming here. There's a big correction on the way. There's so much money out there. There's too much liquidity out there. It's all in the stock market, and I think that thing is going to tank in the not-too-distant future. Okay, that's all the time we have in our first segment. We're going to keep it short here because we want to give Greg Bell as much time as possible in segments 2, 3, and 4. He'll spend the rest of this hour with us here. Again, he's the author of Water the Bamboo. If you have not heard of this book or read this book, the next 45 minutes of this radio program will truly change your life, as it has for so many people out there. Greg is a national speaker, a former Oregon Duck basketball player. He is a local, and he is making big waves across our country, speaking to Fortune 500 companies. Water the Bamboo. Greg Bell up next as Business Briefing continues here on FM News 101.
Now, back to Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101.
Well, there's no doubt we're living in unprecedented times. For those of you seeking inspiration, you've arrived at the right place here on a Sunday afternoon here on FM News 101 as we welcome Greg Bell. He's the author of Water the Bamboo, Unleashing the Potential of Teams and Individuals. Greg has spoken to a multitude of Fortune 500 companies. He's brought the principles of Water the Bamboo to over 500 clients and associations. He's the two-time Inspirational Player of the Year for the University of Oregon Duck basketball team, a successful attorney, entrepreneur, and the force behind Coaches with Cancer. I recently sat down with Greg Bell, author of Water the Bamboo. Well, Greg, thanks for joining us. It's good to sit down one-on-one with you. I saw your presentation at Bing Lounge a couple months ago downstairs. Absolutely blew me away, and we're going to talk about your book, Watering the Bamboo, here in a minute. But first, I want to kind of bring our listeners up to speed on you and where you're at. I know many of them will remember you from your days on the hardwoods at MacArthur Court down in Eugene, right?
Well, indeed. I did play basketball down at U of O, but I'm proud to say that my GPA average was higher than my scoring average. Played from 81-85, but had a great time in college, obviously playing basketball down there, and also went to law school down at U of O, and since that time, I've done a number of different things. So, yeah.
So your life experience is what led you to this point where you wrote this book. And talk about what spurred this. I know you've always been a really motivational guy. You've got some great connections, not only on the West Coast, but all around the country. And how did you arrive at this point where you, I guess, synthesized all of these thoughts into a book?
Well, thank you. I grew up in a tiny town in Texas, actually. Lived with my grandfather, who was an amazing man. He was a wisdom keeper, I call him. But he always told me that I needed to be a leader and share love and knowledge, share with people. And I really didn't know what that meant as a kid, but found my voice and found ways to help leaders and teams. Really, my goal is to have them achieve whatever they're trying to do in a remarkable way. And I would do speak engagement seminars all over the country. And after those seminars, people would come up to me and say, where's your book? And I thought, well, I have a lot of books at home. What do you mean? No, your book. I thought, oh, I'm supposed to write a book. And it kept coming up. So I thought I would sit down and write a book. And actually, initially, Brian, I started writing a book called Bring Your Spirit to Work. And really what that was about is, how do you bring your best to work? You know, the first day of your job, how do you bring that every single day? And I began to write this book, and I met with Larry Colton. He lives here in Portland, New York Times bestseller writer. He read what I wrote, and he thought, wow, that's terrific. He goes, but I'd never write a book called Bring Your Spirit to Work. And I thought, man, what do I do with that? So I wrote for another 6 months because, I mean, what does Larry know? And anyway, I started asking my clients about how things were going. They said things are fine. And 9 out of 10 of them said to me, I said, well, what are you guys doing? They said, we're watering the bamboo. And it just struck me as, because I had, you know, 30, 40 different stories, but that one stuck, Water the Bamboo. And I knew I had to rewrite the book. So I started writing this book, Water the Bamboo, and it was really just to help them keep going. It's more than just a phrase. It's kind of a game plan, a philosophy for people to sort of keep going, because there are always setbacks or reasons to quit, but I want people to continue to put the effort in to get the success they want.
Greg Bell joining us here. He's the author of a great book, Water the Bamboo, Unleashing the Potential of Teams and Individuals. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that the book came after the speaking, because so many authors, they write the book and then they go on the speaking tour. So you actually had accumulated all of this great material as you're speaking, and then it became a book.
Yeah, indeed. I know it is kind of backwards, but I really pride myself in being a great speaker. That's really what I focus on. That's the bamboo I'm watering. And what I realized after my talks was that people wanted to keep the journey going. In other words, keep the bamboo journey going. And then that's why I stepped back and wrote the book from that perspective. But the book asks people lots of questions around values and vision and goals, really drilling down on what it is for them. I don't want to be, you know, giving people advice necessarily, because I believe people have the knowledge in them. But asking the right questions in the right way kind of helps them sort of keep going with that journey. That's what I found, facilitator more.
Well, it's interesting, too. In today's times, we've obviously been through and still are in one of the worst economic periods this country's ever seen. And so many people want a quick fix. And your book will smack them in the face and say, there is no quick fix.
Right. I've studied successful people, well, since I was born, it feels like. I've studied successful teams, individuals, and leaders. And all of them, whether they know it or not, water the bamboo. And the instant gratification is sort of a fascinating thing. I mean, everyone sort of wants that success, and everyone wants the bamboo growth. But what's interesting about giant timber bamboo is its roots. Its roots will grow over 100 yards in that time it takes for it to develop. And I've seen that with different businesses. A buddy of mine sold his company to CompuServe for $120 million. And the business section called him an overnight success. He was so upset. He said it took him 17 years and almost lost his marriage and almost went through divorce. And he also almost went through bankruptcy. And he talked about it took him a lot of nights to become an overnight success. And if you study folks who really have had success, you'll see that. I mean, Walt Disney, for instance, went to 302 investors before one said yes to him. Walt Disney, 302. And for me, it's like that kind of perseverance is what we need to sort of turn the economy around. I think a lot of times people think about their competitors and all this, but really if they look internally, are they really going for it and exercising their own potential? Are they really taking, you know, the rejection and learning the lessons from it? That's really what this is about. Keep going.
I think it was Brian Tracy who once said, always keep in mind that the people at the front of the buffet line of life actually started at the end of the line at one point, right? So, yeah, you know, you got to keep moving through that line, right?
Well, that's so important because anything that's sort of begotten easily, people don't value it. I think just, you know I got my college scholarship because I worked hard. I wasn't necessarily the most talented guy, but I put in my 10,000 hours. I think it's important for all of us to think about putting in that time and energy into your bamboo, if you will. But, you know, part of this too, Brian, is that it takes giant timber bamboo. It takes success a long, long time. But I think the lessons in the meantime, you know, you can sort of think about planting other seeds or plants on top of that. You can grow your tomatoes or your corn or whatever. I mean, the barista at Starbucks may be working on being a world-class violinist, but that barista job or whatever they're doing is important. It's an important lesson. They can learn customer service. They can learn lots of different things, and they have to eat in the meantime. I think getting the sort of world-class in an easy way rarely, if ever, happens.
And what is it about our society, though, and you've studied this, that this is not something that's really taught? I think that, you know, you see, let's say the Kardashians. Okay, they're a great example of this, you know, famous for nothing. And I talk to a lot of people who say, hey, you know, look at them. I mean, look what they've done. Well, I mean, I guess you could argue maybe Kris Jenner has worked hard. Maybe there was some luck involved. But in this society, in this day and age, in business, it is so driven by, what have you done for me lately? What was your last quarter? What was your last week like? How do you instill a water the bamboo mentality with business owners and executives who listen to this show, who know, I mean, I got to make it this month? How do you change that paradigm?
Yeah, that's a really tough paradigm to change. But if you sort of think about any of those people you know successful that are around you, they only show up when we see them. In other words, like Jeremy Lin, New York Knicks basketball player, he shows up, everyone's so excited about him, but no one ever saw him in the gym working out. We didn't see him, being cut by team after team after team. We only saw him when the media picked it up on the fact that he was there. And I think the same is true in business. And, Nike, for instance, they've been around for a long, long time. No one saw, you know, Knight with the waffle iron trying to make those shoes. I mean, think about it. And now, you know, it's what, $8 billion, $10 billion company. And my point of that is, it's that idea is that it always works that way. Water the bamboo is an organic, natural process. If you sort of think about it, no farmer would ever bury a seed, dig it up to see if it's growing. It just doesn't make any sense. A lot of times we do that in schools. We test the kids too soon. They've been in this class for 6 weeks, haven't learned anything. We test them. And I'm thinking, well, why don't we water them a little bit more and give them a little bit more effort? Yeah, what I'm teaching is opposite of what most people sort of see, but the opposite is what wins. If you think about it, if everyone's going to the right, it's probably a good idea to look to the left. If everyone's going the other way, you got to look to the other way, because in this context, if we slow down a little bit and really put in the effort in our businesses and with people, even water them for a professional development perspective, or from a strategic perspective, eventually you will have success. Granted, you have to look at the numbers, you have to look at the quarters and all that. I get that part. But it rarely works. It rarely works to just look at that only.
And more with Greg Bell, author of Water the Bamboo, when Business Briefing continues here on FM News 101.
More Business Briefing right now on FM News 101.
And welcome back as we continue our interview with Greg Bell, the author of Water the Bamboo. I sat down with Greg this past week to talk about his inspirational work that is changing the lives of business people across America.
Well, Greg, we were talking during the break here on specifically the actual act of watering the bamboo. This is not just a concept. This is something that, as you mentioned in our first segment, many of the great leaders, the great business leaders in our country have done for years, and that's the key to success. And I want to advance the topic now and talk about, you know, business itself and how it is so tough out there right now, and yet we are seeing a lot of innovation, and it's because of these companies, as you mentioned, Starbucks, which obviously a gigantic multinational company right now, did not start out as the company that it is right now.
Exactly. I think that, but the thing about Starbucks is fascinating to me is that they focus so narrowly. You mention the word Starbucks to people, people immediately say coffee. But what do they really sell in there? Well, everything. They have, you know, from teas to coffee makers or what have you. They even have music. The third largest distributor of music in the world is Starbucks. They focused narrowly and then went wide. I think when you're watering your bamboo, if you will, you can't water it all. You know, if you have too many goals or too many bamboo, that just means you have none. Focus on your sort of key areas of your business. If you're in real estate, focus on a key market there. Niche, get a strong, deep niche, and then you can branch out. I think then become the expert in your area. If you become the expert in your area, then you can actually become a generalist. It's very interesting you think about that, because bamboo spreads.
Yeah.
It spreads.
It really does,
indeed.
And you mentioned, too, like if your shoulder hurts, you're going to go see somebody who specializes in that. And I think that's a great analogy, because you've got doctors who are, and surgeons who are very specific about a very specific part of the body that they focus on. Same is true for attorneys who have different practices. And yet in many businesses, and this could apply really to anybody, there's, you know, it's, hey, let's try to do everything. Let's try to be a multitasker. And I know that some businesses you have to do that, but if you can pick one thing and be really good at it, right?
Yeah, if you pick one thing and you can be really, really talented at it, you can command the attention of the world. I'm talking about the super successful people. If you look around, they're really good at a lot of things. Hey, Brian, I never seen the engine on my car. I don't want to see the engine on my car. I don't want to know anything about it. But in my work, when I work with my clients, I really want to be world-class in that space. And I think it's so important for all of us to think about being world-class in our space. And if you go for the world-class piece and water it and nurture that, your bamboo is inevitably going to grow, because that's what you're watering in a very specific place. We only have so much time, money, and energy. I think when I think about my time, my money, and my energy, I focus it on those things that are really important. It's the 80-20 rule. The 20% of the things in my life, I really focus on those things that are going to give me 80% of the results I'm after. All of us can sort of focus on what's the right 20%. That's what every business owner needs to wake up and ask. Who are the right 20% of my customers I really need to be focusing on today? Because you can't do it all. The world's moving way too fast. You can't do it all. But we have to water our grove and make sure we don't water weeds, if you will.
And talk about that process, too, because I want to apply this for our listeners out there who are business owners and executives. You know, conceptually, okay, I get it, you know, watering the bamboo, but what does that look like on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, I think it's, you know, not everyone's on the same staircase. Some people are just starting out in their businesses. Some people have been in their businesses for a long, long time. And so for the folks who are just starting out, I really have them walk through the steps in the book. The first step I say is, what do you value? What do you care about? And that's an important conversation, because a lot of times I've seen people be unsuccessful as they reach the top or of their industry, make a lot of money, for instance, but they don't even know who they are. They don't know what their values are, and they lose it. But I say start with your values. All of us should start with that. You know, keep the things that matter most up front. You know, don't raise a bunch of money and make a bunch of money and lose your family in the process. That's not what this is about. So understand what your values are, and then really be clear about what your vision is, as clear as possible. I know the markets change and life changes and that, but really sort of think about that vision and keep that really clear. Even if you've been in your area, your space for a while, think about, well, what is the real estate industry going to be like in, you know, 5 years? What is the legal field going to be like in 5 years? Healthcare, whatever business you're in, really sort of look down the road a bit, understanding your values, understanding your vision, and then set some goals around how you want to sort of approach that. And I think that if you, and I kind of walk through these steps, obviously, in the book, and then part of that is really to get people to focus, because right now there are so many flirts and distractions, so many different things. Maybe I should be doing this. Maybe I should be doing that. Maybe I get that. I understand that. But if I can think about it, my analogy is like the diet. The diet is really more about what I eat, not what I eat, but what I don't eat. So when I understand my values, understand my vision, I say no all day long. We have to say no to things, even if they're shiny, even if it looks like it's going to make it. We have to say no and be really strategic about what that looks like. Because if you start watering something and it doesn't look like it's going to work, well, it takes years for things to work out. I mean, literally years. And if we give up on it, what I've seen people be unsuccessful at is do that. Get going and get two and a half, three years into something, and they quit. But they didn't realize the bamboo is only 3 inches away from actual growth, whatever that bamboo might be. So staying with the project, just kind of keep going, being patient with ourselves, patient with the people. It's really a mindset. It's, you know, the best, you know, the most gold ever mined is between the ears, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we can keep our you know, sort of our emotional state solid and really sort of have that mindset that it's going to work. Obviously, I'm talking about belief in your dream. You know, that kind of faith is so important.
Greg Bell is author of Water the Bamboo, Unleashing the Potential of Teams and Individuals, joining us this weekend here on Business Briefing. And, okay, here's my stumper question for you. I said I wasn't going to ask a tough question, but, okay, how do you tell when you're watering that bamboo how much it's grown? You can't see it. It's buried. It's underground. That's got to be the toughest thing in this, Greg. Is it going to be a 3 or 4 year window? Sometimes it's a 5 or 6 year window. And not only how do you measure that, but you know, how do you keep yourself focused when you're going through that process?
Yeah, that is a stumper question, because the last part of that, like, how do you keep yourself going? Oh my gosh, that is really, really challenging. And so what I think about and what I help my clients with is I come in and I help them, I inspire them a bit. And if you think about all of us, we all need a little bit of inspiration. And I think inspiration is like food. You need a little bit every day, because there's so much doubt. And if you have doubt around it, of course you're not going to water. You're not going to sort of keep it going. And I think that for folks that sort of think about this, now this is what I'm talking about is people really going for it. I'm not talking about somebody who's just sort of in a, just doing this average thing and, you know, and that kind of thing. I'm talking about somebody who really wants to do something absolutely remarkable. And what does that mean? Well, that means you got to show up every single day. And it's not drown the bamboo. It's water. You don't use all your energy there. You use a bit of your energy there. And you have to sort of have some plants on top or things going to feed yourself in the meantime. It's so important to have, you know, I don't necessarily believe in plan B, because if you go with plan B, you distract from plan A. But I do know that if I put something on top of my bamboo that may be able to feed me in the meantime, I'm still watering my bamboo. I'm still sort of letting that, whatever that, for our dreams. And it's all, for me, I think, it's our mental state. Sure, there'll be people along the way that'll quit. There'll be people along the way that'll tell you you're crazy for trying it. But that's throughout history. I mean, imagine the Wright brothers sitting around trying to fly an airplane or even talking about it. Their parents are like, what are you doing? That's crazy. Anything you think is great right now, believe me, it started off as the most delusional thing ever. And I think when I'm on a delusional idea, I think I might be on the right one, because it goes delusion, 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 success. It's always worked that way. The internet, when it was first introduced, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Yeah. And delusion, 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 and wow, I wish I'd gotten on that bandwagon. And I think that's true of any great success that are really common today, if you will. And I just have people think about that for themselves and find the models that are out there and help them sort of think through that. In terms of what their dreams and their hopes are.
And a big part of this, Greg, too, is what you just touched on, is staying focused on this, and you've got those naysayers out there who are always going to tell you you're crazy, you know, you need to go back and do what you were doing before, you know, why are you going that direction? And I think you said during the break, that's when you almost maybe know that you found success.
Oh, indeed. When I stopped my practice of law, I still hear that. Like, what are you doing? You know, that kind of thing. And, it's none of my business what you think of what I'm doing, really. That's why I look at it. And I just stay focused. I think it's also important to have great relationships. I think in my book, I talk about bamboo circles. And that's who's in your circle. Who's in your circle? Your tight, your A-list people who support you no matter what. Hillary did not climb Everest alone. There were 33 Sherpas helping Hillary get up there. And I think it's a relationship age. The right relationships will give you the right results. And also they'll spur you on to keep going, to keep going. And, of course, those folks who are critical or telling you're delusional, you have to sort of protect yourself and shield yourself from them as well. It's not that they're bad people. They just don't understand your vision. And that's okay. Not everyone has to understand your vision. They will once it grows, though. Once they see it rocket 90 feet in 60 days, they'll go, oh, that's what he was talking about.
Great stuff from Greg Bell, the author of Water the Bamboo. When we come back, we'll connect the dots with Greg and tell you what you need to know and how you can learn more about Water the Bamboo. That's up next on Business Briefing.
This is Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101.
Okay, welcome back at 4:52 as we move toward the top of the hour. A friendly reminder, we'll have news, traffic, and weather on the way in just about 8 minutes, followed by the second hour of Business Briefing, where I'll expand on the dismal job report we got on Friday. And I'll tell you, I've had many emails come in during the past hour here during our interview with Greg Bell on what to do and where to go with your money right now. Stick around for that. I've got an idea that you may not have heard of. That's coming up at about 5:07. Right now, though, we return to our interview with Greg Bell, who's the author of Water the Bamboo, Unleashing the Potential of Teams and Individuals. Now, if you're just joining us here as we move toward the top of the hour, you can head to our website, KXL.com. We will podcast the full interview from the first hour of our show with Greg Bell. It is truly inspirational, and those of you just joining us may or may not know that Greg is a two-time Inspirational Player of the Year at the University of Oregon basketball team. Of course, I remember him when I was a Duck basketball camp all-star when I was a kid. He's a successful attorney, entrepreneur, and the force behind Coaches versus Cancer, which has raised over $50 million for cancer research. Truly spectacular things Greg Bell has done. And he founded the Water the Bamboo Center for Leadership to inspire and motivate not only teams in sports, but teams in business. You may be aware, he's one of the guys that helped the Oregon Ducks football team and Chip Kelly achieve their success. He can help you as well. More of our interview now with Greg Bell.
Well, Greg, thanks for joining us, and it's good to see you because I know you're crisscrossing the country, and we just tried to nail you down to get you in studio here for this interview. It was tough because Water the Bamboo, your book, has really taken off, and it must be exciting for you after watering that bamboo and leaving your law practice to, you know, write this book and speak, to see this really explode like it has.
Yeah, it's been very exciting, obviously, to have something like that. You know, when I was watering, I didn't know what would happen, obviously. But yeah, it's been very exciting traveling and working with different really, really smart people doing really, really cool things and helping leaders and teams really achieve and maximize their results. That's really what our company is about. My job and my role on the planet, I think, is to inspire people to live their dreams and really go for it. Life's too short to not.
Well, you do a heck of a job doing it, and I want to let our listeners know we've got business owners and executives who are loyal listeners on the show. Businesses of all types, and I know you mentioned to me there isn't anybody you really haven't talked to, right?
Right. I've worked with a number of different companies, from high tech to healthcare to even some of the athletic teams around have sort of picked up on Water the Bamboo, which is really thrilling to see the Ducks sort of use Water the Bamboo to go to the Rose Bowl and do all the things they did. But I work with a number of different companies and organizations and leaders, and really what I'm after is helping leaders get their teams to galvanize really and go where they want to go, and it's just been a thrill to do that. It's been a lot of fun.
Now, Greg, you're a former Duck, and you played there basketball, and I know you helped the Ducks on the Rose Bowl journey. Would you consider going to Corvallis and talking to the Beavers for me?
Indeed. I'm headed down to Oregon State on the 31st of this month. I'll head down there and work with their business centers down there. Yeah, my sister went to Oregon State, so we let her back in the family when you guys won that baseball game. So even though I played at Oregon, I cheer for the Beavers and when they're not playing Oregon, for sure.
Okay, me too. That's the way I go with the Ducks. So it's good to hear. So because it's such a great message, and not only as a keynote speaker, but the book obviously is a great tool. If our business owners out there want to get a hold of that, how do they do it?
Well, you can go to our website, waterthebamboo.com. They can go to, obviously, to Powell's and pick it up and a couple of bookstores around here. But Amazon is also a good spot for them. We got it on a Kindle and all kinds of tools that people can pick up on it. So
is this a full-time job for you now? I mean, is this it, or do you still do other stuff?
I just hang out with my kids. It's busy. This is a full-time my full-time job, just help my clients any way I can, whether it's doing seminars for their leaders or doing all staff meetings or whatever it might be. I have a lot of folks on my bamboo journey with me, if you will, so it's kind of fun.
And one final takeaway, what would you leave us with in the 60 seconds we have left here for our audience of business owners and executives out there?
The one final takeaway I'd leave, and I start my programs with this question, is what's going well? I think what's going well is one of the more powerful questions a bamboo farmer can ask themselves, because, you know, all of us are working really hard. But sometimes I don't think we have enough gratitude for the work we do and for the things we overcome, for the achievements we have. This is a great country. We live in a remarkable country, and we'll get through the setback here. But if we have a little more gratitude, I think that'll fuel us to deal with all the challenges we have. I ask myself this question every single day: what's going well? And at the end of the night, I ask myself, what went well? Because I want to have great days and great dreams. If you book in those two questions, it'll help you tremendously. Because sometimes we just sort of wake up casually and turn on all the bad news, and we go to bed with all the bad news. I'm saying things are going well, but we got to focus on them. And the reason we should focus on them is because it helped us deal with the challenges ahead.
And again, our thanks to Greg Bell, author of Water the Bamboo, Unleashing the Potential of Teams and Individuals. Learn more at waterthebamboo.com. News, traffic, and weather moments away. More business briefing after a break.